want to announce, I want to say that the Lord really blessed the conference, I almost said concert again. Yeah, it was good. Concert was great. No, the conference went well, and there was a lot of singing there, but it wasn't like the kind you're thinking of. No, it was wonderful. Got to hear some wonderful testimonies of how God has changed and helped the lives of many people through the Reformers Unanimous Ministry. It's a local church ministry. It's not a parachurch organization. It's a local church ministry. It's done under the authority of the local church, and that's what we're all about. Amen? And so this is a wonderful ministry. It's reaching out to a lot of addicted people. How many of us here know somebody who's addicted to some kind of substance, something? They're addicted to something. I'm sure every one of us knows people who are addicted to drugs or alcohol or some other kind of addiction. And this this ministry is geared towards helping those people who are in bondage to those addictions. Of course, what they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what they need, and that's the first step towards freedom, is receiving Christ as your Savior. You're not going to overcome any kind of addiction in the power of your own flesh. Amen? Humanism can't help these people. Psychiatry cannot help these people, has not helped these people. But God can help these people, amen? And there's people in our community that need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives to overcome the addictions and just the sin that they are in bondage in. And I am praying and have been praying about this ministry for some time. It's been over a year now since I've known and have heard about this addictions program. It's a faith-based addictions program. It's the fastest growing addictions program in America. And it's local church. It's done by Bible-believing people just like us. And it's exciting to see and hear some of the testimonies of the people that God's used this ministry to help and to redeem and to save. Amen? And so I'm praying still about it. And I'm going to be seeking some counsel this week from some men of God that have been praying for me about this, with me about this. And before I go ahead and commit to doing this, I want to get their counsel. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety, and I believe that. And I want to get some counsel from these men of God who have been praying with me about this before I proceed. But be in prayer for me this week, and I don't want to do anything that's not of God, and it's not God's will. And the Lord answered some questions that I had about this ministry going into this conference, and He's given me peace about it. And I just pray that the men I'm going to be talking to this week would also be at peace about it. And so pray for me. There are some literature back there. There are some tracks back there, some testimonies, some life stories of people whose lives God has changed through the Reformers Unanimous Ministry. And so I want you to pick some of those up and read them. That's for you guys to pick up and to read. And take one of each if you can. Read those testimonies. It'll really bless your heart. I was sitting next to a lady on the plane back home Friday night, and she was asking me what I was doing in Chicago, and I told her that I was at a Reformers Unanimous program, told her it was a faith-based addictions program. She said, "Oh, my son is addicted to this. I wonder if that could help him. I wonder if there's one of these ministries where he lives." He lives in Anchorage. "I don't know if there is." I said, I don't know if there is or not, but I'll give you this to read." And she sat there and read that whole thing. And the track contained the testimony of the man who founded it, Steve Currington, and how God changed his life. And she sat there and read the whole thing. Then she turned to me and said, "Boy, that man's really changed." I said, "Yeah, that's what God will do to somebody who gets saved." Amen. The Lord can change their lives and turn them around. So praise the Lord. Amen. And don't forget, we have some soup. Somebody said something about some buffalo soup. Is that right? Buffalo soup? Wow. Got some buffalo soup, and there's some other soup back there. So stick around. Don't go run off after church. Or stick around in fellowship some. And it'll be a blessing, I'm sure, to some people here. It's good to see Neil and Alicia and their family here in church this morning. Wow. What a blessing. Amen. Amen. What an exciting thing to have them back again. We have a visitor with us. I believe his name is Dave from Palmer. Thank you for coming. And thank you for being here. He's up working from Palmer. He's going to be with us for a few months. So make sure to shake his hand and let him feel welcome. All right. I better get to preaching. Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. And I want to read just a few verses. Starting in verse 15, we'll read down through verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, so much for this opportunity to pray and to preach, Lord, your word and to encourage your people this morning. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the shadows of a bloody cross this morning. Lord, fill me and use me with your Spirit, God. Help me to say nothing that I should not say and everything that you would have me to say. And Lord, I pray, God, this morning that your Son would be honored and lifted up and glorified in the service. Lord, I know what I am. Lord, I know that I am nothing and that I can do nothing without you. So I'm asking you, Lord, to set me aside today and, Lord, that your Holy Spirit might have free course to move and work in hearts and lives. Do a work this morning in the hearts of your people. We ask and pray all of these things in your name. Amen. Life is a series of choices. And although God is sovereign and has all knowledge, God knows what choice we're going to make. He's given us a free will. Amen. And God is not going to force us to do what's right. God's not about that. He's left it up for us to decide for ourselves whether we are going to make right choices or wrong choices. As a pastor, I cannot make anyone obey the Bible. I can't force anyone to honor God with their lives if they don't want to. And I don't want to force anybody to serve God. That's not what I'm about. That's not what this church is about. That's not what God is about. As your pastor, I can tell you what the Bible says, amen? And I can give you some helpful instruction in how God wants you to live your life, but I cannot make you do the right thing. I cannot make you honor God. I can lead you to the water of God's Word, but I cannot make you drink of it. Young people, your parents cannot make you love God. They cannot force you to love God. Now, they can try to influence you in that direction for a time, but ultimately, you're going to have to decide for yourself whether you're going to love God and obey His Word because He loves you and because in your heart you want to please Him, or you're going to live for this world and you're going to live to satisfy and serve your flesh. But believe me when I say there's going to come a time in your life when you are going to have to choose for yourself which direction you're going to go in. Your parents won't be able to make that decision for you. I won't be able to decide for you which direction you're going to go. But when that time comes, I hope and pray, young people, that you will make the right decision. But no one will be able to force you to go God's way. That's not what God's about. It's a choice that you're going to have to make on your own. I can tell you this, whether you're a young person or an adult here this morning, if you're truly saved, if you've been born again this morning, there's going to be a desire in your heart to want to follow God. There's going to be a burning desire in your heart to do His will for your life instead of doing your own thing. The choice of every saved, born again, Spirit-filled believer should always be to find what is God's will for their life and to walk in it, to do it. Now, some things are obvious. Amen? Some things we don't have to pray about. We know it's God's will for us to be saved. Amen. The Bible says you must be born again. It's God's will. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, it's God's will for you to be saved. We know that. That's a give me. And we know as Christians that it's God's will for us to live sanctified lives, pure and set apart unto Him. We know that it's God's will for us to serve Him and to get involved and to be a part of the local church and to serve Him with our lives. We know that's a give me. We know it's God's will for us to be Spirit-filled and to live Spirit-filled lives as believers. We know that it's God's will for us to share the gospel with others, to witness and to be a testimony to others. We know that it's God's will for us to attend a good local Bible-believing church where the truth is preached without compromise. We know that's God's will. The Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We know that it's God's will for us to tithe of our income, amen, and to give offerings of what God has blessed us with. We know that that is God's will for us to do so. We know it's God's will for us to spend time in the Word and to read it and to study it and to meditate upon it. We know that it is God's will for us to read and to study and obey His Word. We know it's God's will for us to spend time every day in prayer and get along with God and talk to Him. Those are some give-me's. Those are some things that we don't have to pray about or seek God's direction about. We just need to do them. Hear me this morning, please. Every choice that we make in life is an expression of what is most important to us. We make choices based upon what we value most. Most, if not all of us, are here this morning because the Lord Jesus Christ is important to us. Most of us here this morning because we're here this morning because what the Bible says, what God's Word says, is of some value to us. Amen? And I'm glad this morning that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm glad that God never changes. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. I'm glad this morning that the Bible stands like a rock undaunted amid the raging storms of time. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. God's Word never changes. God never changes. But people do change. And sometimes their values change. Sometimes we get our priorities all messed up. And when that happens, it's not long before the things that should be important to us and the things that once were important to us are no longer important to us. People change. Christians even change. Our values sometimes change. But God's truth never changes. God has a plan for our lives. God has a perfect will for your life and for mine. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 1, verse 6, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Job said it this way, He knoweth the way that I take. God knows our way this morning. God knows your way. God knows my way. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24, man's goings are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? You see, we can understand the will of God for our lives, and we can know that God has a perfect plan for our lives, and He wants us to know and understand that, and it's a tragic thing that when a Christian steps out of the will of God for their life, that's a tragic thing. You see, the perfect peace of God comes from being in the perfect will of God. A Christian who is not in the will of God won't have the peace of God, and that's so important. Jesus is our example. Jesus was the Prince of Peace. Amen? And He said, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. And that should be our desire. That should be our attitude. That we should not seek our own will, but that we should seek the will of God, the will of Jesus Christ for our lives. We're not to be seeking to do our own will, we're to be seeking to do God's will. Amen? What is God's perfect will for you and for me this morning? I don't know about you, but I want to be in God's perfect will. I want that for my life. Say, why? Well, because life is a series of choices. And if I choose to follow God's direction for my life, I know that I'll have peace and power in my life. I know that God will bless me. I'll know that God will prosper my way, and I'll have good success. But if I choose not to follow God's direction for my life, my life will be filled with doubts and worries and fears, trouble, and there'll be no peace, there'll be no joy, there'll be no contentment, and I don't want that for my life. See, all it takes is one wrong decision. One wrong choice, and I know that the devil could mess me up for life. I don't want that to happen. All it takes is one wrong choice, one wrong decision. But on the other hand, all it takes is one right decision to change a person's life and to get them started down the right road. Amen? The single greatest, most important decision that I made was trusting Christ as my Savior. My life has never been the same since that day. The single greatest, most important decision any person can make is the decision to turn from their sin, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him to save them, and receive Him as their personal Savior. That's the single greatest, most important decision a person can make. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you've never been born again, I want to encourage you this morning to trust Christ. I want you to know that it's God's will for you to receive Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not God's will for anyone to die in their sins and spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to keep sinners like you and me out of hell. I had an opportunity on the plane ride back to Barrow to give a gospel track, the plan of salvation to a homosexual man. Say, oh, God didn't die for homosexuals. Yes, He did. And if a homosexual will repent of his sin or her sin and turn to Christ, they can be saved. Amen? God can deliver them out of that lifestyle. God can save a homosexual just like He can save a drunk or a whore or a prostitute or a drug addict. Amen? God's hand's not shortened that it cannot save. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to keep sinners like you and me out of hell. The problem is not everyone is willing to accept Christ's payment for their sin, and every sinner in hell today is not there because God foreordained them to be there. They're there because they made a choice to reject His free gift of salvation. When people make wrong choices, they have to suffer the terrible consequences of their bad decisions. And not trusting Jesus Christ as Savior when He has paid it all is the worst decision a person could ever make. Now, if wrong choices bring with them terrible consequences, then right choices, right decisions, must bring great rewards. The Bible teaches in Psalms chapter 19, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. What does it say? It says, in keeping of them, there is great reward. See, how many of us believe that this morning? I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. That's a biblical principle. If we do wrong, we're going to be punished. But if we do right, we're going to be rewarded. I think of Abraham and Lot. They came to a crossroads in their life. And Abraham and Lot made a decision. Now, Abraham had made that decision long, long ago when God called him out of the land of his fathers, and God said, go into the land whereof I will show thee. And Abraham obeyed. He made a choice to follow God. He made the right choice, the right decision. Lot came to a point in his life where he lifted up his eyes, the Bible says, and he beheld the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he may not have intended to end up in Sodom like he did, but the Bible says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He made one wrong decision, and then another wrong decision. And then before we know it, we find Lot in the city of Sodom, living amongst those wicked people, and he called them his brethren. And we know what happened to Lot. He ended up in a cave, committed incest with his daughters, and his life was just a complete mess. Nobody names their kid Lot, amen? Not a lot of people name their kid Abraham either, but Abraham made the right choices, and God blessed him. He made the right decisions, and God prospered him. I think of David and Saul. Saul made some bad decisions. He made one wrong decision, and then another, and then it was just downhill there from that time out for Saul. But David, the Bible says he behaved himself wisely, and he made right decisions, and God blessed him, and God prospered him. If we do right, we're going to be rewarded. If we do wrong, we're going to be punished, we can expect God's judgment to fall upon us. Not only do right decisions bring rewards, but every time we choose to do right instead of doing wrong, we are strengthened spiritually. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 1 and in verse 1, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but in thy law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You see, when we do right, when we make right decisions and right choices, the more we choose to do right, the stronger we will grow in our spiritual lives and the more power we'll have to overcome the temptation to do wrong. I think of Joseph in the Bible. Joseph is one of my heroes. Joseph was a great man. I mean, he was put to go through some things, made to go through some things that I hope I never have to go through in my life. But you know what? God prospered and blessed Joseph everywhere that he was at, from Potiphar's house to the prison house to the palace of Pharaoh the king. God prospered him. God blessed him because he made one right decision after another. He made one good decision after another. He did the will of God for his life. And when Potiphar's wife tried to get Joseph to sin, what did Joseph say to her? He said, "God forbid that I should do this thing and sin against God. I'm not going to make that wrong decision." Joseph was strong enough to do the right thing, to make the right decision, because he had been making right decision after right decision after right decision up to that point. See, when we make right decisions, God will strengthen us spiritually. Making right decisions will not only strengthen us and empower us to keep sin out of our lives, but right choices will help us to live successful Christian lives. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God comes to Joshua after Moses is gone, and he said, "This book shall not depart out of thy mouth, Joshua, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou that mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And listen to me, don't expect to understand the will of God for your life if you're not in the Word of God. Don't expect to understand what God's will is for your life if you're not reading His Word daily on a consistent basis. We need to be meditating in this book. We need to observe to do according to all that is written therein. And the Bible says, then our way will be successful. Then our way will be prosperous. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to fail in my Christian life. I don't want to become a castaway. I want to be used of God. I want to live in the perfect will of God. And I want to do what God's will is for my life. As Christians, we can know what God's will is for our lives. And we can be successful in doing God's will for our lives. Let me show you three things this morning that will help you to discern what God's perfect will is for your life and will help you have the confidence that you need to live every day in the will of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, "Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." The first step we must take if we are going to understand what God's will is for our lives is the step of surrender. If we're not willing to do anything for God, we'll never do anything for God. If we're not willing to do anything for God, we'll never do anything for God. We've got to surrender our hearts, our minds, our bodies to Him. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Wherefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may," what? "Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God wants us to turn our lives completely over to Him. Amen? That's what God wants. We'll never understand what the will of God is for our lives unless we are first willing to say, "Lord, I surrender all to You. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give." I heard about a woman who was walking down a dirt road and she had a basket full of some trinkets that she was trying to sell. And she came to a crossroads, and she stopped, and she wasn't sure which direction to go in, so she decided that she was going to find a stick, and she was going to throw the stick up in the air, and whatever direction the stick landed, that's the direction that she was going to go. And she did that. She did that once, and then she did it again. And she kept doing it. She kept throwing this stick up in the air, and a passerby saw this happening, and he said to the lady, "What are you doing? Why do you keep throwing that stick up in the air?" And she says, "Because it keeps landing in one direction, and I want to go in the other." You know, I think that's the way we are sometimes with the will of God. We want God's will to be our will. We want God to let us do what we want to do instead of doing what God wants us to do. We've got to yield to God if we want His perfect will to be done in our lives. Andrew Murray, the missionary, once said, "God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to Him." The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. Hey, we're only given one life in which to serve God. And we need to make the most out of every day that He gives us, because time wasted can never be recovered again. Time spent in sin, time spent doing our own will can never be recovered again. We've got one life to live, and it will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. You can't change what happened yesterday, but you can choose to live in the perfect will of God today. Amen. You can start making right decisions and start in that down that road of being in the will of God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14, "And this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing on toward those things which are before, to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul had wasted a lot of time. He had wasted a lot of time fighting against the will of God for his life. When Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, I wonder how long God had been dealing with him. And how long Paul had been resisting the Holy Spirit of God working in his life. Because Jesus said to him, what did Jesus say? He said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. God had been working on Paul for some time. But Paul had been resisting. And finally, God had to knock him off his high horse. And the Bible says that Paul saw a light and he heard the voice of Jesus. And what did Paul say? He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do?" Paul surrendered his life. He got saved and he surrendered his life right then and there to do the will of God. And he never looked back. He never turned back from doing the will of God for his life. Say, I've wasted a lot of time, Pastor. I've wasted a lot of time doing my own thing, living my own life, doing my own will. And you know what? There's no way you can get that back. But don't worry about that. There's nothing you can do about the past. Forget it. Put it behind you. Surrender your life now today to God and start living in His perfect will. Amen? The next step we must take if we are to understand what the will of God is for our lives is simply dying to self. Dying to self. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. What did Paul say there? He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. I am dead to sin. My old man was buried with Him in the likeness of His death." Now, obviously Paul was not talking about being dead physically. He was not talking about dying physically. He was talking about living a crucified life. He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." He was referring to the life that was dead to the flesh and alive to the Holy Spirit of God living inside of him. And listen, we can't understand what God's will is for our lives if we are not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Paul said, "Christ liveth in me." Paul wasn't running his own life. Jesus was running Paul's life for him. He said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Who's running your life this morning? Are you living the self life or are you living the Christ life? See, either we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit this morning or we're living according to the flesh. We're trying to get things done on our own. We're trying to serve God on our own without His help. It's not going to work that way. It's not going to work that way. We must live the crucified life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, be ye filled with the Spirit. You know how I know that Paul lived his life in the will of God? You know how I know Paul lived every day of his life in the will of God? Because he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, I die daily. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Let him deny himself and follow me. If we're going to serve God, if we're going to be in the will, live in the will of God, self has got to be put to death. Self has got to be crucified. We must choose to die to self and to live the crucified life. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't try to reason. Don't try to figure things out. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. Don't rationalize. Trust God. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall what? He shall direct thy paths. If you want to understand God's will for your life, you've got to trust Him with your life instead of relying upon your own flesh. The Bible says we're not to have confidence in the flesh. You've got to acknowledge God in every area of your life. Give Him complete control. And the Bible says He will direct your paths. I want God to direct my paths. Amen. I know if I go off on my own, I'm going to get myself into a world of trouble. Back in those days, the people, they didn't have, it was hot. So they traveled at night most of the time. And they didn't have street lights like we have now today. So what they would do is they would tie a lamp or a light or a candle of some sort to their foot. And as they walked in the night, because it was cooler, they would take just one step at a time. And as they stepped, the light of that candle would illuminate their next step. And then they would take another step. And that's how they would travel. And you see, if we allow God's Holy Spirit to fill our lives, and we are in tune with Him, and we're not walking in the flesh, but we're walking in the Spirit, God will direct our steps. God will show us the way. God will illuminate our path. Thirdly, if we're going to fully understand God's will for our lives, we must seek Him. We must seek Him. In Psalm 143, David prayed, teach me to do Thy will. Teach me to do Thy will. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. If you're serious this morning about knowing and understanding what God's will is for your life, then I want to encourage you this morning to seek Him with all your heart. Whether you're an adult, whether you're a young person, I want to encourage you this morning to seek God with all your heart. He said in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 23, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Are you searching for God with all your heart? Are you seeking the will of God this morning in your life with all your heart? Listen, the perfect will of God is worth seeking out. Amen. There's nothing more satisfying than knowing that you are in the perfect will of God and that you are doing what God wants you to do and you are where God wants you to be. A lot of Christians today I see are miserable. They're not content with where they're at. They're not satisfied with what they're doing. There's no peace. There's no joy. And it's because they're not in the perfect will of God for their lives. They're so busy doing their own will and trying to get things done in the flesh that they don't have time to pray and to seek the will of God for their life. I hope that's not your situation this morning. When we live in the flesh instead of walking in the Spirit, we're going to make wrong choices. We're going to make wrong decisions. When we're living in the flesh and we're not walking in the Spirit, we can expect to get tripped up. The Bible says in our text, see then that ye walk circumspectly. I love the King James Bible. What a word. Circumspectly. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. You know what that word means? It means to be watchful. It means to be cautious. Don't let your guard down. Remember, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour you. He wants to devour me. He wants to devour our families. And we need to be cautious. We need to walk circumspectly, not as fools. When we refuse to surrender our will to God, and we choose to do what we think will make us happy, we'll end up missing God's plan for our lives. But when we choose to yield to Him, when we choose to live the crucified life, not the self life, but the crucified life, the Spirit-filled life, when we seek Him with all our hearts, He'll show us what to do. He'll show us which direction to go. He'll guide our paths. He'll guide our steps. He'll open our understanding to what His will is for our lives. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, it's not God's will for you to perish. That's God's will that you be saved. It's God's will that you repent and trust Christ. If you're here this morning and you're saved, it's God's will for you to be sanctified and to live a life pleasing to Him. That's God's will that you serve Him. Are you in the will of God this morning? Are you seeking God's will? Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You, Lord, for the message this morning and the blessing that Lord, it's been to me to study Your Word this last week and to prepare this message, Lord, and the work that You've done in my heart in preparation to preach here this message on this day. And Lord, now I pray, God, this morning that You would search our hearts and know our thoughts. And Lord, I pray, God, if there's anybody here this morning that is not living in Your perfect will, I pray this morning that they would seek Your will, that they would search to know what it is, Your perfect will for their lives, Lord. I can't make anybody do right. I don't even want to try. But I pray, God, this morning that some Christians would decide right now, this morning, that they're going to make the right choices and the right decisions for their lives, for their families. I pray this morning that there's some Christians out there who are desirous to be in Your will, to know Your will and to do it. That is where true peace is found. That is where true peace is at. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that would say, "Preacher, pray for me. The message you preached this morning was what I needed. I'm not serving God. I'm not in the will of God. There's some things in my life that God's not well pleased with. Please pray for me." I see those hands. Anybody else? Say, "I'm not in the will of God. Please pray for me. There's some things in my life I need to get right. I've made some wrong decisions. I want to stop making those wrong decisions and I want to start doing the right thing." Is there anybody here this morning that would say, "That's my prayer. Please pray for me. I want to do God's will." I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. You can put them down. I see that hand. Thank you. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that's not saved, that does not know Christ as their Savior this morning. You've never been born again. Please raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I don't want you to leave this place without knowing for sure that your sins are forgiven. Anybody here this morning say, "I'm not saved. I don't know for sure if I'm saved." All right, Christian. What are you going to do? Are you going to continue to make those wrong choices and go down that wrong path? Or are you going to stop? Or are you going to turn from that way and start making right decisions, right choices? We're going to sing a song of invitation. And if God's spoken to your heart, I want you to come. Get some things right. Get some matters settled. Let's all stand this morning. Now let's sing, "I Surrender All." Do we have that song on the list? We do? All right. If we could sing 596, everyone. 596, "I Surrender All." I realize some of you have children and don't feel like you need to leave your children or bring them with you. Pray in your seat. Make that chair you're sitting in your altar and get some things settled with God. 596, "I Surrender All." If God spoke to your heart, Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Do what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Don't resist Him. 596, I surrender all. Listen to the words. Don't leave. Quit. We got some soup back there. Stay around and fellowship.